In some religions, the idea is do as many good works as you can. At your judgment, you hope the good works outweigh the bad. Believers can rejoice that Jesus bestows his personal righteousness as a gift on those who are his. God sees our sins through the perfection of his Son and can legally declare us as righteous as he is. This stops the devil in his tracks. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on the invisible war, taken from the book of Ephesians. He is teaching about the breastplate of righteousness, telling us that there is no way we can ever attain God's righteousness on our own.
I've used the illustration before, but I love it. If you were to add 1 million bananas, you would never get an orange. Take all the human righteousness that has ever been performed, gather it all together in one bundle, and it does not attain to a scintillica of the righteousness of God. There are millions of people in church today who have established their own righteousness and think that they are fine, and they know nothing of the righteousness of God. So let's talk about the righteousness of God, and for this, let's turn to Romans chapter 3. This passage of Scripture deserves particular attention, and we can't give it all the attention it deserves, but I'm going to be speaking about this same passage perhaps in a couple of months in a series, and I'll pick it up again. But notice today, this is critical, chapter 3 of Romans. Chapter 1, Paul proves that the pagans are sinners. Chapter 2, he goes on to prove that the Jews who were self-righteous, who had the righteousness of their own righteousness, that they are sinners too. And he emphasizes then that in verse 19, all of us are, chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Paul says, look, don't depend upon human righteousness, because in God's presence, your mouth is going to be stopped and you'll have nothing to say because your righteousness is unacceptable. But now notice, the whole world, yes, accountable to God. Verse 20, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Laws do have a benefit, and they remind us that we are sinners. And when we see that we are sinners, then there's hope for us. But the more righteous we perceive ourselves to be, the less likely we will see our need for the righteousness of God. That's why self-righteousness is so deceptive. The more of it that you have, the less of God's righteousness you think you need. Now, notice verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. The righteousness of God. Imagine today if you had the righteousness of God. Obviously, God would accept you because you'd have the very same quality of righteousness that he does. Righteousness in the Bible, the righteousness of God, refers to an attribute of God. He is just, he is holy, he is loving, but he's also righteous in all that he does. All of his acts are good and pure and honest and right. And the good news is this, that through Jesus Christ, we get this quality of righteousness credited to us as sinners, even though we are imperfect in our own lives and in our own experience. That is the good news of the gospel. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God made him to be sin, the one who knew no sin, that is Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus got what he didn't deserve, namely our sin. We get what we don't deserve, namely his righteousness. We get his righteousness. And that's why it is sometimes referred to as the great exchange. That when Jesus died on the cross, He received our sin. You know, parenthesis, there are some theologians who say, well, it is immoral for God to punish someone who is innocent. My friend, Jesus wasn't innocent. He was declared guilty by God when he bore our sins. And because he bore our sins, God says, you can receive now the righteousness of God. You can be credited to your account, legally credited, can be God's own standard of holiness and perfection. It's applied to you. Now, what are some of the characteristics of the holiness of God? Well, obviously, first of all, it has to be a free gift. You'll notice it says in verse 24, and are justified by his grace as a gift. Of course it has to be a gift. Think about it. It's a kind of righteousness of which you and I have none. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. We can't just say, well, God, you give me part of it, and then I'll add my own righteousness to what you give me. No, it is a gift because it is God's righteousness. It has to be a gift. That's why the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you realize how the gospel slaps us in the face if we're proud people? Because it says, whatever you bring is unacceptable. All that you can bring is your need, and in the process of bringing the need, I will supply what you need. Our great contribution in salvation is our sin. That's the only contribution we make. It is the righteousness of God that is the gift. If you're struggling here today and wondering whether or not you can believe in Jesus or have assurance, remember to receive it as a gift. It is not of works. Don't be impressed with what you've done for God, because I can assure you he's not impressed with it, and probably your close friends aren't either. Now, what do we say about it? It is a gift. It is an unchangeable righteousness. How do we know it's unchangeable? Because it is the righteousness of God. You get the same righteousness when you believe on Jesus as I received, as anyone else has received throughout church history. The same righteousness the Apostle Paul received. The same righteousness that D.L. Moody received. The same righteousness that Billy Graham received. We all receive the same righteousness. And that means that the real issue isn't the greatness of your sin. You see, there's some of you here today who, if the truth were known, you've done some pretty terrible things, maybe even criminal things. And you're asking today, now, can I believe on Jesus? And what happens when I believe? And the answer is, yes, you can believe on Jesus. The Holy Spirit is working in your heart. I'm going to urge you to believe on Jesus. And in the process, you will receive the righteousness of God and receive the same righteousness as anyone else. The same acceptance before God the Father. The same opportunity of access into his presence. The same privileges as a son or a daughter of the Almighty. It is an unchangeable righteousness, unaffected by the degree of our sin. Of course, it's better to be a good person rather than a bad one, rather than a criminal. But at the end of the day, when you believe in Jesus, the real issue is, has the righteousness of Christ been credited to you? It is an unchangeable righteousness. It's a permanent righteousness. You see, when you receive this righteousness, it is really yours forever. It'll take you all the way to heaven. There are some people who think that the Christian life is this way. You confess your sins, and then when you sin again, you lose your salvation. You lose the righteousness of Christ, and you have to start over again. And if you really believe that, my friend, you don't know where in the world you are in your Christian walk. It is so confusing, and it is so uncertain. I remember riding on a plane with a guy who said, I'm AWOL from the Christian life. He attended a camp, and at the camp he was told that if you leave here in sin, you lose your salvation. Well, I remember one pastor who believed that, who said to the town drunk who used to get saved every Sunday. The pastor said, well, if you get saved here next Sunday, I think right after you get saved, I ought to just shoot you, so that at least I know you'd go to heaven. Because, you see, on Monday, when he got drunk again, his salvation was gone. My friend, the work that God does in you when you believe in Jesus is so radical and is so permanent it lasts. It'll carry you all the way. To the heavenly city. It is yours. You say, well, do we have to confess our sins? Yes, of course we have to confess our sins. We have to confess our sins because that has to do with our fellowship with God. But our standing, our legal righteousness remains there. And we can be confident that we are still God's children even when we run. All right. So we've talked now about human righteousness. We've talked about divine righteousness. Now the question is, how can it be applied? How can it be applied? Now we're talking about practical righteousness. Now we're in a position where we can actually talk about the breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate, by the way, covered everything from your neck to your belt. And it was usually made of metal or very heavy leather. And it was worn, of course, to protect the heart. And so when Paul says you have to put on the breastplate of righteousness, he was talking about the righteousness of God applied in our lives in a practical way. And how do we apply this righteousness? And by the way, why is it that we are still vulnerable to Satan despite the fact that we have received legally the righteousness of God? It's the way in which God worked it. God says that when you believe on Jesus, you are mine forever. You have the righteousness of God legally commuted to you. But you can still be rebellious. You and I have known some Christians who have done some pretty terrible things. Very terrible things. And we as Christians can still in this life go into Satan's territory. And when we do, we are in for the hassle of our lives. An illustration, suppose you're an American soldier and you happen to walk into enemy territory. You cross the boundary and you may not even know it. But in the process of crossing the boundary into the enemy's territory, you will be captured. You might get back, but what a struggle it is going to be and what a lesson you're going to learn about the nature of the enemy. And that, my friend, is the reason why we sometimes struggle with spiritual warfare. Why it is that we get ourselves into difficulties that are difficult for us to get out of. God is teaching us. Bottom line, lesson, sin is always a bad idea. Because the minute we harbor sin, the minute we give in to sin, God allows certain judgments to come along with that so that we experience consequences that are very, very difficult. So I want to encourage you today. The reason for your battle is so that you and I might become righteous, that we might learn things about ourselves, things about the Word of God, things about God's power that we couldn't learn in any other way.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more on The Breastplate of Righteousness, the third of seven messages in a series on the invisible war. Tomorrow, practical ways to wear this piece of the armor of God. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our series on the invisible war can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible war. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.